evening, everybody. Kind of a big crowd, actually. It's my pleasure to be able to stand before you this morning. Appreciate your patience. And we have had a wonderful series of lessons so far. And I have been commissioned to try to help you to understand what God's will is for your life. I thought that was a difficult task until I was forced to have to study it to try to teach it to you, and found out it was pretty simple, actually. So I've got a whole lot of stuff to make up some time, because I really don't have a lot to say to you when I get to the end. The reality of the matter is this. I want to ask you a couple questions before we get started. I want you to think about these, consider these as we go through our lesson, and hopefully you will be able to answer those for yourself. First of all, do you believe that God's will for your life is the best thing for your life, even if you don't understand it? I'll say that again. Do you believe that God's will for your particular life is the very best thing for your life, even if you don't understand what it is? So think about that. The other question is this. Do you believe the Bible to be fully inspired by God and infallible? That's the two questions I want you to hang on to as we go through. Is it closer? Not loud enough? I'll scream. There you go. Everybody get that? All right. Sorry about that. So first of all, I want to speak about three different areas of God's will. The last one is going to be providential will. Providential meaning the act of providing for us individually. So three points I want to discuss, and lastly, hopefully we will answer, or at least give you my assumption of the answer that I've been asked to give you, as far as understanding God's will for your life. But the first aspect of God's will, facets, if you want to call them that, is this. It is his proclaimed will. Now, you understand there are different aspects to God's will, there are different aspects to each of us. I'm a father, I'm a businessman, I'm a husband, I'm a brother, I'm a son. So there's different aspects to us. So there's different aspects to God's will as well. God has revealed for you in his written word most of what we need to know. You will find most of his will for your life there. There are things in the Bible that I can say for certain is for your life. He does intend for you to be saved. He does not long for anybody to be lost, and so he has given us the path in which we can find that. So that's his revealed will. The Bible tells us a lot of things. 1 Peter 2:15 says this, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So I can say, show that sure it's God's will that you do or I do what is good. What do I know about good? Well, you'll find that in his revealed will. So the first aspect of God's will is the thing that he has written down for you very meticulously, very painstakingly, over thousands of years, that you might be able to see his personality. You might be able to see his nature. You might be able to see his goodness, his justice, his righteousness, his holiness, his godliness. You also, on the other hand, might be able to see our personality from maybe a side you wouldn't notice it if you were just looking at yourself. It's hard for me to look at myself and see my faults. You can look at me and see it very easily. And I can see yours more easily than I can mine. That's why the Bible tells us that we should encourage one another. That we should depend upon one another. I mean, just marry somebody. They'll fix all that for you. They'll tell you every problem you've ever had. It does help, to be quite honest. My wife has been a wonderful help. Sometimes I don't think so. Correction's not so easy when it's coming. So, Matthew tells us this. He says, not every one who says, Matthew 7:21, not every So I have to know what it is that God would have me personally do. And you see, we don't have confidence in that sometimes. We want to know the path before we ever start out on it. I mean, I knew how basically how to get out here before I ever left home. And I've never been here before. So I knew the path. So I didn't need any faith in that particular instance. But you see, the problem with us is oftentimes what we want to know is what God wants us to do before we go to do it. And really, that's just an excuse not to do anything, because you spend your whole life trying to figure out God's will and never having done anything. So oftentimes we just use that as an excuse. But if you're truly a worker of the Lord, that's not the case. You just want to know. Let me give you another aspect of God's will. And this one I need you to pay attention to. Don't let me confuse you, but I do want you to hear and understand what I'm about to say to you. There is a permissive will to God, and that permissive will says this: when he, or before he created us, he permitted things in his creation that he did not want. Now, let me say that. Wait a minute. God does everything. God can do everything. There's nothing God can't do. That is true to an extent. God can't make you obey the gospel. God can't make a person make a decision. He can influence. He can change circumstances in life to encourage you, as we've seen in the past two lessons. I mean, Dwayne stood here and told us that God has manipulated the financial climate of this planet, maybe, to bring us back to a position where some of those things are not so important to us, or we realize they're not, so that we'll look to a different answer. See, that's how God changes things. But you see, when God said, we're going to create man in our image, well, that meant they had to have a choice. And you understand, to have a choice, you have to have the opportunity or the right to choose the wrong thing. So, God permitted his permissive will. This is where a lot of us get really turned upside down, and a lot of things, a lot of unanswered questions float around in our brain. Why are people starving on other continents? Why are people dying in my life? Why are little kids starving to death? Why does this happen to that person and this happen to other people? Why does all that happen? And then you hear people try to work it out and say, well, everything that happens is according to God's will. And you're talking to somebody that's not even a Christian and they've just lost a child and they don't understand that. And that's not really a good answer for them. But see, when God decided, as I've said, to create us and to give us the right to choose, when you're given the right to choose, you have to have the right to choose the wrong thing. And that's what happens to us. But God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He tells us that. It is not wrong for anybody to be lost, but everybody that comes to the knowledge of the gospel that they might be saved. But you see, when Adam and Eve decided to sin, and you decided to sin, because the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that we all fell short of the glory of God, and we have all sinned. So that same event, don't blame it on Adam and Eve. You did the same thing they did. And if I had been in their place, the same event would have happened. So we chose sin. And as a result of sin, bad things happen. Have you ever told a lie and just thought it was just a lie? And the devil sin of it. Then before long, have you ever told, you told a lie home, heard about it, and then it comes back to you, and before long you've got this horrible mess. You've got people that don't trust you any longer. You've got people that look at you differently. They don't believe you to be what you were before. You have caused destruction. You've separated people. You've broken friendships. You see, that's what sin does. Because in the Garden of Eden, when Adam chose the wrong choice, it was not just the wrong choice, it was the wrong path. And that path led us to the horrible atrocities that we see today. That was not God's will. God never intended for that for his people, but he gave them the choice. And to have the choice, you have to have the ability to make the wrong one. Otherwise, we're nothing more than robots, and we don't want to have ever created this in the first place. And you say, well, why would God create the creation knowing that all of these people were going to be lost? I'm going to ask you another question. Any of you that have children, were you aware of the fact that someday they were going to die? Were you aware of the fact that they were going to have cuts, bruises, and scrapes throughout their life? The bad things were going to happen to them? Accidents would have happened? Somebody would have to cut off their arm in a rock climbing accident to save their life? And you can turn to God and say, why would He create us if you knew that was going to happen? I, as a father of three kids, can't say that. Because somebody could turn to me and say, well, did you not know that this would happen to you and would happen to your children, and yet you brought them into the world? Well, absolutely. We want people, we want our children to have the same opportunity in life. That is all the things that come along in it. To be able to enjoy life, to be able to enjoy fellowship, to be able to enjoy relationships, to be able to reproduce of their own, to bring them into this world, to give them at least a chance to be able to share in all the things that this world makes up that we call the joyous life. But you see, everything in life is not joyous. Everything is not God's will. Understand that. Because if you think that God is going, because you see, the problem with seeking God's will is sometimes I've seen people do this, I have tended to do this myself at times, because there's what you want, and you tend to smother that over. Well, this is God's will. Understand that you can make a choice that's wrong, and that's it. God's permissive will, you have that right to destroy yourself if that's what you want to do. You understand when people stand before God and they have spent their whole life rejecting God. God is honored, He is bound to honor your choice. You force Him to say, depart from me. That was not His will. He does not get any gratitude out of that. That was the choices you made in this life, and He is bound to honor those choices. He has to. So, God has a proclaimed will, which you will find in the Bible. That is the Bible. It is His entire revealing that everybody needs to know. You find that the Bible applies to everybody. He has a permissive will. He permits things into this world that He was not wanting. It was not His intent. But He had to allow it in order for free choice to have to be in our lives. So the next time you see something bad happen, don't blame it on God. Don't say that that's God's will. It's not. It's because of sin and because God gave us the free right to choose that. It was not what He wanted. It was not what He intended. That's what you intended or what man intended. And that's the result of it. So the next time you do something as little as just tell a little white lie, and you see the explosive causes that can come from that, just multiply that by billions and billions, and you'll understand the problems that we face because we're human and because we choose the wrong things. Then lastly, which is really what we want to talk about, and I'm trying to get settled here for lunch, is God's providential will. That's what you have really asked me to teach you. And it's pretty simple, to be quite honest. I've got an illustration, and being that I am technically challenged, I was not able to get a picture to be able to show you. And I said, well, you got a smile on the way, more well than I am, certainly that way. So I found all these pictures on the computer, and I never could get it to go from this spot over to that one. And so you're going to have to use your imagination this morning. Proverbs, now, write this verse down. I'm more of a listener than I am a note taker, but if you're not familiar with this verse, it has a lot to do with what I'm trying to give you the answer for. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 says this. Man, when you start looking at things, it's just amazing how much information God can pack in one little tiny verse. And so, He says here, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That's a tough thing to do. That is not easy. I mean, we can just read right across that and just say, that's what we need to do. But what does it mean when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart? That means when you don't know what's going to happen. And we go back to that first question that I asked you. Do you believe that what God has
have to take one for the team.
Are you willing to do that?
Well,
one day it may be if you're not there now. But nevertheless, he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. This is exactly what we've been talking about, or what has been being talked about. But see, there's a way that you're going to want to do things. And if it doesn't coincide, first of all, with God's revealed will, you're messing up. It could be the fact that it's His permissive will. He's going to let you go make a mistake. He can't stop you from that. He can discourage you. He can reveal it in His will, the principles that you ought to follow. If you choose not to do that, you have to suffer the consequences. It's His permissive will. He's not going to put up a block wall when you make a wrong turn. He'll do everything He can, but ultimately the choice is yours. So, he says, do not lean to your own understanding. There's something that you're going to think is right. Don't lean to your own. When he says don't lean to your own understanding, in other words, if you don't have a basis for it in God's Word, you might want to think about it twice. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That means make sure you're covering all your bases, and this is as best you can figure from every single angle. Nothing contrary to anything God has told you not to do or to do. And he says, He'll correct your paths. I told you it was simple. I said all the other stuff just to fill in time. So, let me read it all in its entirety. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will correct your paths. Now, I want to use your imagination because I can't use the computer well enough. So, have you ever seen a forge? A forge is a thing that they use. They used to use bellows, and they would blow air into usually coal. And it would get really intensely hot. And so they stick a piece of metal in there with a pair of tongs, and they'll heat that piece of metal so it's glowing hot or to the temperature they want it, and they can tell by the color that it is. And then they'll take it out, and they'll beat them, and they'll shape things into it, or out of it. I saw a guy, actually, watch him make a horseshoe. Really interesting. I don't know much into horses, but I thought this was pretty cool. So he takes this piece of, it's just a steel rod. Takes it, sticks it into this fire, heats it up, blows the bellows, takes it out, he beats on it with an anvil, and he beats with a hammer, he grabs another hammer, and he'll beat on it with a different one, he'll turn it, flip it, hit it with something else, and he'll stick it back in the forge when it starts to cool off. When it gets to the right temperature, break it back out, and he'll beat on it, and beat on it, and beat on it, and reheat it, and beat on it, and beat on it, until, wow, there's a horseshoe. Sticks it in a cold thing of water to deal with it. Now, they've prepped me already for my teaching this morning. I know it to them, but it really helped me out a lot. You see, there are things in life that are going to teach you lessons. Our economy is about to teach us that we should not lay our, not to put too much into our riches. Things of this world are not really what we need. They're nice to have, but they're not that necessary. And I'm afraid we're going to be taught some lessons going forward. We're going to find that, as James tells us, we found in our last lesson, that trials and temptations and tribulations of this life are going to shape us and mold us into what we need to be. We'll have the patience to let that happen. And if not, we miss out on the greatest thing we could have had, and that is being able to be molded into what God wants us to be. And there's the answer. So you see, there's a lot of things that make us into what God wants us to have. But you see, just like that forge, sticking that piece of metal in there and making it hot, can you imagine if that blacksmith had just started beating on that piece of metal without heating it up? He'd been an idiot, but he certainly wouldn't have turned out with a horseshoe. He probably just turned out with a handful of broken pieces. You see, that's our problem. We oftentimes are looking for what God wants us to do. And I'm tempted to ask all of you a question that has been in the church very long at all, because I am seriously curious to know this, because this question came to my mind after I was putting this together. I may ask you before it's over. The reason they heat the metal is so it can accept the shape will. Will is going to do that for you. And you're going to be moldable. We sing songs about, you're the potter and I am the clay. Well, after clay gets hard, it's a little tough to do anything with. It has to be moldable. So you see, what you have to do when it comes to God's will is spend the time and pay attention to what's going on. Let life take its course. Let things happen to you. James says, be patient. All of these things are made in you so that you are moldable, so that when God's will comes for your life, you're willing to accept it. It's there. Boy, I've missed out on a lot of things in life. I have missed out on some of the greatest glories that I will probably never know about, because I wasn't conditioned to receive it. Paul told one of the groups that he had written to, he said, there's a lot of things I need to teach you guys, but you're still carnally minded. You're not moldable yet. He said, I'm going to teach you some about the Word, and I'm going to teach you about Christ. And what did he mean by that? He didn't say, I'm going to teach you God's will. He says, I'm going to get you guys moldable. I'm going to get you to where God can shape you and move you. Now, the question I wanted to ask, and I'm not sure if you're going to ask it, and you can raise your hand if you want. I am seriously interested in knowing. Is there anybody in this audience that has ever known that? We're talking about not whether you need to be baptized, not things you can read in the Bible, but a direction you was going in your life. You wondered and wondered and wondered, what does God want me to do? What does God want for my life? What am I going to amount to? Has anybody ever known that before they got there? Because I have known of many things in my life, and I go back and I'm like, that's what he wanted. Now I can see. But you see, I had to get to that point first, and I can look back, and as we say, hindsight is 20/20. I can see it now. But I'm not sure you're ever going to know it. I mean, you have an idea, but you're not going to be able to say, I'm going this way, I should go this way. God wants me definitely to do this. You know, there's some things about life that God doesn't care about. He doesn't mind if you're a carpenter or if you're a brain surgeon. It's just whichever path you want to go in, he's going to use that and he's going to bless you in that as long as you acknowledge him in all these ways. You see, those things are indifferent to God. It's what you do along that path that he cares about. So, the answer, I think, to your question is this. Spend time in God's Word. Make yourself that when His will comes to you, when it is that God wants you to do something, you are prepared to be able to do it. And you're not sitting on the sidelines wondering what it is God wants you to do and whining because of the fact that you just can't figure it out. If I can never figure it out, I'm going to get moving. What God wants you to do is get to moving. Get prepared. Use an example. There's a lady at our church. She is a math professor. I can barely add two and two. She's a math professor, and I said, I wonder why at college when Holly's out and she's out sick, they don't call me to take her place. She kind of laughed, so did everybody else for her. But I'm not prepared to take her place. I couldn't take her place if I wanted to. So you see, I'm not prepared for that. So what are you prepared for? What is it that you are prepared to do for God? What in life has prepared you for things? I mean, many of us have been humbled. Life is an humbling experience. When you look at people and you see people that have less than you, you think, why do I have what I have? I don't know. But what can I do with what I have is the question. So you see, spend your time getting ready for God to use you. And not so much about what He wants for you to do in the future. That doesn't mean we can't plan, we can't have ideas, we shouldn't have things that we intend to do. And as long as they're in God's will, and as long as there's something that is going to glorify Him, I'm sure He'll bless you in it. But you see, spend time getting prepared, and you'll be ready for whatever God's will is. So, let me ask you again. Are you certain? Are you confident that whatever God has for you in your life is the best thing for you, regardless of whether you know what it is or not? And if you said yes to that question, then just trust the Lord to guide you in the steps that you're going to be taking, as long as those steps are being taken in confidence of Him. yourself ready to do. So that when God, you notice there's a few people in the Bible when God said something, they said, "Here am I." There's a few people that said that. What does that mean? I'm in condition, Lord. I am mobile. You tell me, I'm going to do it. You see, he can't say that to everybody. There's a lot of things he couldn't call on me for because I am just not ready. It's not his fault. It's my fault. I have failed to prepare in certain areas, so he couldn't use me if he wanted to. So, the question is, are you doing today what you know you can do? Because if you're not, here's the situation. Remember Noah, or not Noah, but Jonah? God had told Jonah to go do a particular task, teach the Nineveh. Nineveh was not one of his favorite places. It was the capital city of Assyria, and Assyria was an oppressor, and he didn't like them very well. And he knew for a Satan suspicion what kind of God he served, and he knew he was probably going to have leniency on him, so he went the other direction. Long story short, they find out what he's doing. God turns up the forge a little bit there, and they throw him off the boat. And fish swallows him, and he has 3 days to reconsider himself. And so the fish keeps him up on the shore, and he gets up. And you would think at this point that since Jonah didn't want to do what it was that God wanted him to do, God would just give him some multiple choices. Same instruction. I mean, he had to go through everything that he went through. And God said, directions are still the same. You see, he had to make him a little more mobile. He had to make him a little softer so that he could shape him into the man he wanted him to be. It took going the wrong direction, making some people really mad on the boat to the point that they tossed him off, spending 3 days in the belly of the fish and getting hurled up on the shore. Now he's ready to go. So you see, if you're not doing today what you know to do, you're probably not going to get a whole lot more instruction. That means you've not even prepared yourself for what you've been called to do at this point. So I wouldn't be looking for a whole lot of greater things. Probably not going to come. So the question is, until you do what you know to do today, that is God's will for your life, probably ain't going to get more serious than that. As bad as deep as you're ever going to get. So, what you need to do is do what you know to do today, and then God will be able to use you because you're preparing yourself. Because nobody wants to clean the toilet. Nobody wants to vacuum the floor at church. I mean, that's things that people don't gloat over. Nobody gets credit for that. If you ever stood in the pulpit and somebody is a speaker or an announcer and said, "Sister so and so or brother so and so spent the day the other day cleaning out all the toilets, scrubbing the things." You see? No glory in that. I want to know where people can see me and recognize me and give me credit for what it is I do. So you see, until you do what it is you know to do, it's not going to get much better than that. Because God has prepared you, or you have prepared yourself, in whatever way you have to this point, and God is using you to the extent that you're capable. And if you're not doing that, then it ain't the same way that it's coming. You see, Jonah didn't get optional choices. Well, if you don't want to go to Nineveh, I understand those people. Let's just send you over here so I'm going to learn nicer. Didn't work like that. So do what you know to do today. Spend your time preparing for what God has in store for you in the future. Make yourself